Okay, welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
All right, so my name is Josh. I am from Chicago, and on the political spectrum, I am a moderate left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brain Weaver. I'm from Lancaster in Pennsylvania, and I am a moderate right, and we are Punchlines and Politics.
So basically what we're going to do is every time we post an episode of this podcast, we are going to first talk about something political, whether it be like the debates or, you know, something that's come up, Supreme Court or something like that, followed by we're each going to pick certain memes that we both enjoy because politics is depressing. We want to liven it up a little bit.
Hence the name Punchlines and Politics.
Exactly.
All right, so heading on into it, we're going to just go straight into it right now. We are going to look at the presidential debate, and since we are recording today being Wednesday, October 7th, 2020, we're also going to look ahead to today's vice presidential debate between Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris. So let's go ahead and get straight into it.
So when it comes to the presidential debate, I honestly thought that either they were going to start making out or they were going to kill each other.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Just watching it, you know, it was the most amount of interruptions I've ever seen on something that big.
Honestly, it kind of looked like a conversation between two very passionate, you know, old lovers. And like Josh smartly pointed out, it was either they were going to kiss spontaneously during the presidential debate, or they were just going to get into an all-out brawl.
I expected one of them to like throw something. I expected some stand tipping, but.
And to be honest, I think we got quite a show. Regardless of what we as Americans might have expected, we really shouldn't have expected anything less, because we forget pretty quickly that in 2016, these debates were uncivilized.
They were not any better.
Honestly, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, their chemistry was about the same. Joe Biden does possess some of sheer masculinity that Hillary Clinton failed to show. But
you could describe their chemistry as two cars hurtling at each other going 60 miles an hour.
Right on. If you have ever seen a monster truck rally where at the beginning there is just an absolute wrecking crew of big trucks smashing into trucks that were not as big, and it's just an all-out trash fest. There's probably a word for that, but it's escaping my mind currently.
So, thank you for explaining monster trucks.
Hey, you're welcome. Well, what I'm trying to say is at the beginning of monster truck, like the cold open of a monster truck rally.
I know what you mean.
What is that, like the smash and dash something? I don't know. Something along those lines.
That reminds me of the gas station. It's called Come and Go.
A classic. Smash and dash, come and go.
All right.
That comes spelled with a K though. So can we say that on a podcast?
I don't know.
That's a great question. So if you're listening, if you're listening right now with your children, maybe don't.
All right. So back to the debate. What were the big talking points for you?
Right. The big talking points for me, regardless of the just sheer brashness of the evening, I want to talk a little bit about Chris Wallace a little bit. We looked at Chris Wallace as a moderator, but to be honest, I struggled with him a bit. I think that he took moderating a little bit too seriously, although it is a very serious role that he was privileged to have put upon him.
Yeah.
I really don't think that the moderator is as important as the material that is being discussed. And I think he struggled with that position because he felt that it was almost insulting to him that some of the questions that he had put out there Some spontaneous, others planned. Were not either. They were either not answered in full, or he didn't feel like they were, you know, able to be answered because of the constant interruptions by both of the candidates.
Yeah.
So, I really think that Chris Wallace, he did an okay job. I don't think he was perfect. I don't think he was god awful. All right.
There were some questions raised about his, you know, being neutral and some of the stuff he felt like both sides felt like he attacked the candidates at certain points, and that I feel like he struggled a little bit with staying neutral.
And I would say that too. And I think some of that even surprisingly stems out of the fact that he is a hired anchor for Fox News, and Fox News is famously a more conservative news outlet. And they have no problem with saying that either. They are a conservative news outlet.
Very primarily. Outspokenly.
Primarily. And yeah, they are very outspoken about this, like I previously said. But you kind of look at Chris Wallace, and you see the position that he's in. He's moderating a debate where the topics are hot and the candidates
are not.
I was going to say their temperaments are even hotter, but you're right. If nothing else, we have found two very unattractive men to put at the forefront of our presidential debates.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that, huh?
But in regards to Chris Wallace, I definitely do believe that he struggled a bit remaining neutral because of his position with Fox News. And I think he tried to, in a way, he really tried to make up for the fact that he was a Fox News anchor and he was hired by Fox News. He wanted to remain as neutral as possible, but it came off like he was very, very
the exact opposite.
I think he was lenient towards Joe Biden and very, very direct and very, brass at Donald Trump. And, you know, and it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. I think we can all agree that Donald Trump, he probably shouldn't have been as brass as he was. He maybe came off a little too strong. But regardless, that's the way he is. Donald Trump is like that. And we elected him for 4 years knowing full well that he was this bombastic, loud man. And we should – I think the media was much too surprised. And I think Chris Wallace was surprised too. And there's no need for that. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew that he was going to come off strong. He was going to come out hot. And
it seemed like the media – him for the last 4 years.
This is true. You know, I would also agree, you know, the American people have long forgotten what it felt like to be in a presidential debate, especially since there have been no Republican presidential debates, seeing as Donald Trump is a clear incumbent.
Yeah. Yeah. They had regardless a warm up with all the Republican debates that happened, with Ted Cruz and Ben, his last name is escaping me.
Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah, Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dr. Ben Carson. You look at Jeb Bush. He was quite the bully to Jeb Bush, whether you like Jeb Bush or not. Jeb Bush absolutely got squashed.
Jeb Bush reminds me of a ladybug.
Of a ladybug? He reminds you of a ladybug.
Yeah. I was going to say something.
Astounding comparison.
I was going to say something meaner, but I decided not to.
And... folks, if you're listening at home, this is the part of the conversation where we're going to take off most of the filters. Not all, but most.
Yeah, I censored that part in case there are any children listening.
But now we've given you a clear and fervent warning.
Yeah, clear warning.
Please avert their ears or introduce them to some new topics.
The next talking point I wanted to get your opinion on was... this has blown up all over. I see thousands of news articles and posts about this. But Joe Biden telling Trump to shut up. I want to know what you have to say about that.
So as a more moderate Republican, I would say generally I didn't enjoy that portion. But I think if you really watch the debate, if you really looked at the context of why Joe Biden was telling President Donald Trump to shut up, I think it would reveal that it was a difficult topic for Joe Biden to talk about. I mean, you look at what they were talking about. They were looking at Hunter Biden. They were looking at Biden's family. They were looking at Hunter Biden and things like that. And Joe Biden clearly does not enjoy when anyone is talking poorly about Hunter Biden.
I mean, I assume no father would like hearing anyone talk that badly about, you know, their own son.
Of course not. But you do have to look at some of the facts. And I was actually astounded. I did some research during the debate as soon as this incident happened, where Donald Trump made a little quip at Joe Biden saying that Hunter Biden had accepted millions of dollars from the mayor of Moscow's wife. For what really? We don't know. For what we don't know, but that has actually been somewhat confirmed. And another thing is too, Donald Trump was saying as well that Hunter Biden got kicked out of the military, which is another, that's a truth. That is true. He got kicked out for cocaine usage. He was caught for cocaine usage. Hunter Biden is, in fact, a cocaine addict. So Joe Biden saying that this was completely incorrect and getting very defensive when it is indeed true. And of course, on the national stage, you don't want someone to come at your son like that. But in this political arena, in this political climate, anything goes. Uh-huh. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I am not surprised that many members of the media go after Donald Trump's family.
That's true. I mean,
he has a vast family, and they all have their individual issues. But you see, the media in these past 4 years, the media has extremely focused on Donald Trump's family in order to sway the election. And that's just a fact of the matter. Obviously, the more liberal media outlets will try to sway the election in Joe Biden's favor, and Fox News, as a more conservative media outlet, will try to lean it towards Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So we're at a crossroads here.
It's an unbalanced seesaw.
Exactly, and we see something here that many people, I think, are lying to themselves about. This was not a pretty debate for either candidates. I don't think Joe Biden really won the debate. I would say Donald Trump didn't really win anyone over. I think everyone who is going to vote for these two candidates are going to vote for them still. I don't think anyone's minds were changed, and I don't think anyone from the middle, the more moderate side, I don't think their minds have been changed either. I still think that they're at a crossroads. I don't think they know who to vote for. But it's interesting. I was actually watching Fox News. I know. I was watching Fox News the day after the debate, and I was watching the Martha McCollum show, and she had three voters who were all moderate, and they were all middle of the road, and they had no idea who to vote for. And so she brought them on to ask them if the debate had swayed them in either way. All three, and this includes a white woman, a middle-aged white woman, a middle-aged black woman who happened to be a teacher, and a middle-aged white male small business owner. And all three of these voters said that they have no clue who they are going to vote for in November. And so I really do think that reflects better than anything else what the American people, those who are not really sure who they are going to vote for, this really reflected what they're thinking.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
And it's not exactly the prettiest of situation. But on another note, I want to move into our next topic, unless you want to discuss anything.
I had a few things I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I really agree with you is that I don't feel like anyone is going to change anyone else's mind at this point. These are such polarizing times that if you are, you know, a fan of Donald Trump and you want to vote for him, you're going to do that no matter what anyone else says about him. And the same for Joe Biden. Like, if you have your mind made up, there's nothing that Trump's going to say that's going to change your mind at this point. people are just so stuck in the way they see the candidate. They see it as a for lack of better terms, like a life or death situation here. And it's really like uncomfortable how, for lack of better words, again, damning it is to, you know, you pick one side and all of a sudden you're forced to believe everything that side believes or you're a traitor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Moving on. I would like to cover the topic of civic unrest in America. This is a big one. So again, once again, this is a disclaimer. If you have children listening to this, either educate them or tell them to go to their rooms and play Minecraft, because this is going to get heated.
Can I go play Minecraft? I'm uncomfortable.
Josh, you have absolute permission to go play Minecraft. All right, in any case, I want to talk about some of the civic unrest. As far as it goes with the presidential debates, this is a big topic. This was a very big topic for the debates.
It was one of the six.
It was one of the six. But again, this took up a lot of time because Donald Trump really tried to hit it home on several topics. And President Biden, Vice President Biden, he tried to make some points, but it seemed like he was pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? I wonder. Weak. All right, weak in these points. And I want to know what your position is on what you thought, like, what you took away, really, from the presidential debate as far as some of the civil unrest goes, because it is a big issue in America right now, regardless of how you see things, regardless of what you believe. Everyone can say right now, in America, we are at a moment of crisis. Mm-hmm. We have civil unrest in many of our largest cities, which we take immense pride in. So just go ahead and let us all know what were your takeaways.
You know, most of the stuff that I took away from this part was stuff that, you know, I already believed in. I honestly didn't get a whole lot out of this area because this was when they did the most of their interrupting. But in general, when referring to, you know, the civil unrest in America right now, it's something that really, you know, it doesn't help the polarization. As a moderate, I try to look at things from both ways. You know, everyone has the right to go out there and protest. Like, obviously, that's your First Amendment right. And, you know, that's what you can do. The hard part for me is that people, you know, a lot of the protesters are not the ones that are doing some of the violent acts. You know, a lot of people are, A, using that for cover, you know, B, it's just random people who are just there and then end up having to do it. Like, C, it could be like people who are trying to start something more, you know? And it's hard because when you are protesting something, the point is to make things uncomfortable. You know, it's change only comes when, you know, you force it, and you can't make change without making some people uncomfortable. And, you know, I watched a video the other week of a BLM protest in Harrison, Alabama, I believe it is. I'll have to fact check myself there, but it was just one guy's holding a sign, and, you know, people drove by like shouting that they were, you know, being racist to their own kind. And they were telling, both of these guys were white. Sorry, should have added that in sooner, but they,
thank you, Josh. Yeah. Thank you for racially profiling. Well done.
But, you know, other people would drive by saying like they were portraying their race and like saying that, you know, they were awful for standing out there, and that some guy even said that BLM was the next ISIS. And that scares me like a lot. Like, to think that a group who face value is just trying to get equality and calling them the next ISIS because, you know, it makes someone uncomfortable, or it's like pushing a little bit, you know, at yourself because it's going to force you to change the way some people think, or like it's going to, you know, move the police system around a little bit. Like, it's uncomfortable, you know, and I think that part of it's necessary.
Yeah, you make some good points. There's a lot of it, you know, First Amendment rights come in huge. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of our system as a country, right? And this is a pivotal moment in our history where we really get to decide what is free speech. And as far as the ability to gather, which is also protected under the First Amendment, the ability to gather and protest peacefully, it really does bring America at a bit of a crossroads. And I think we will be talking about crossroads a lot in these next coming podcasts. Simply because America really is at a crossroads. We have seen throughout history that we have had our bumps. We have had our roadblocks as far as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has pertained to. And really, we are looking right now in the modern era, we are seeing a huge crossroads. What is free speech? What can you do as far as protesting goes? What's the difference between a protest and a riot? And how do we differentiate that in the media? What can the media say and what can't the media say? Is there any limit to what the media can say? And all these questions are obviously, they're going to be answered in these next couple of months with the inauguration of our new president, or the same president.
Obviously. I would even venture as far to say that people are discussing not just the first, but like the first, the second, some are talking about the fifth. You know, it's a lot of the Constitution is being like looked at really hard right now. And I both disagree and agree. It is a weird time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. It is a very weird time to be alive. But at the same time, it is such a unique privilege.
It is. It really is.
Especially with the ease of access and the rapid spread of knowledge that we have due to technology, right? By a simple tap of our fingers onto a phone, we are able to access information like no other era has ever seen before, right? This is a huge, huge part of human history. And the fact that we are able to live through this, especially in a moment of crisis for America, I mean, this is huge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're recording this podcast right now from 16 hours away. You know, technology is, you know, huge in this point. And I would even say that it's good for the spread of information, but it also spreads misinformation.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of a disclaimer as well. Josh and I, he is in Chicago right now attending school, and I'm here in Lancaster attending school. And we are doing this obviously from super far away. And we don't necessarily have the technology to maybe make this the best quality of sound, but we appreciate you working together with us in these weird times. So moving on, I would like to cover a little bit. So we've talked a little bit about the crisis in America, civil unrest, but I also would like to talk about, there was one pivotal moment in the presidential debate that the media just freaked out about, and everyone from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook, whatever. Everyone saw this moment, whether you watched the debate live or you saw the result of it the next day via highlights or via the news. The entirety of America has seen this one clip, and it is of President Trump, according to the media, being unable to denounce white supremacist, white supremacy groups. And I would like to talk about this a little bit because it's an interesting thing to talk about. It's an interesting thing to kind of to consider the history of Donald Trump as far as some of these, you know, this topic as a whole, and also his response. So, yeah, Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, that is, I can't go a single day. You know, I'm an avid user of Reddit. I like to, you know, scroll through that a lot, and I haven't gone a day without being able to see, like, stand down and stand by. I think that was his exact quote, from when he was asked to, you know, say like asked to denounce white supremacy. And I know we've talked about this a little bit outside of the podcast, and I know a little bit of what you're going to talk about. And what really stood out to me, and people are free to make their own assumptions from that, and but the standby part is what kind of shook me a little bit. That to me is, you know, like when you say standby, like when the military is at standby, they're not relaxed, but they're not, you know, in like their normal position of like straight up and stuff like that. They're allowed to like put their hands behind their back and take like a rest, but it's not like releasing. It's like a, you know, relax where you are, hang on type command.
Yeah, and I would say, if you really look at the context, for those of you who have watched the debate, you will find if you go back and you actually listen to it, because I caught it on the first go. President Trump, when asked by Chris Wallace if he would denounce white supremacy, his exact words, and this is, you can find this in the transcript too, his exact words. Before he went off on a tangent about Antifa and whatever, he said, yeah, sure. In fact, those were his exact words. It was, yeah, sure, when he was asked to denounce white supremacy. And he then asked, all right, well, give me some specifics. You know, I can denounce white supremacy all the live long day, but tell me what you're talking about. Who are you? Who are you talking about? And then Joe Biden cuts in and he says, well, how about Proud Boys? Right? And Donald Trump, he did. I would say this could have been a home run. I think that this was a toss-up question. I think this was easy. You know, if I were in Donald Trump's shoes, obviously I'm not. I see things slightly different than Donald Trump, just some things. And I would have said, right out the block, I would have said, yes, I denounce white supremacy and all groups that associate themselves with such a radical thing. Next question. That was a stupid question.
Yeah.
Of course I denounce them. Next question. Chris Wallace. All right. Next one. And I think that would have been a home run. This was a toss-up question. And all Donald Trump had to do was hit it out of the park. Instead, what he decided to do was he decided to put the ball into, I know this is another sports reference, put the ball into Joe Biden's court. He, instead of completely hitting this out of the park, he decided to just take it right back and say, okay, what about Antifa? And obviously Joe Biden did an extremely poor job at denouncing the violence that Antifa has caused. Extremely poor job. But you won't see that in the news, because it wasn't as big of a topic. Let's be frank. This was a simple question asked by Chris Wallace to President Donald Trump, and all Donald Trump had to do was hit it out of the park, and he failed to do so. However, that does not necessarily mean that Donald Trump is a white supremacist himself. In the past, on Twitter, he has denounced white supremacy actually quite well. If you look at some of his past tweets, he really has condemned white supremacists.
I just want to take a moment to talk about how crazy it is that we're using Twitter now. And it's not a knock on Donald Trump, but just like, it's crazy how Twitter has become such a big part of the presidential, you know, job and stuff. But anyway, keep going.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But so if we really look at this, so Trump didn't 100% condemn white supremacy that night at the presidential debate. I mean, he did a poor job. But in the past, like his rap sheet, you can look at some of his record. He has been an avid supporter for denouncing white supremacy. All right. And you can look at that. You can say, oh, Trump's a racist, or oh, Trump is a white supremacist, stuff like that. Well, okay. Well, you have to look back at some of the stuff that he said. I mean, obviously, the presidential debate, you know, you don't have much time to think about anything at all. You just kind of have to spit out stuff. And that, honestly, that was the presidential debate completely. Both candidates just spewing out as much information and as many quips as they could fit in. Mm-hmm. And it seemed chaotic to us as an audience. But in reality, if you're Joe Biden or if you're Donald Trump, you probably don't see it that way. Like, we had a different perspective. We had a very good perspective seeing both of the candidates, both of their reactions, and also Chris Wallace and what his reactions were. And for each of these candidates, you know, they have a very, very different perspective, and we kind of have to acknowledge mm-hmm. that. That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse by any means. You know, presidential debates, you know, have oftentimes been a bit heated, but this one was an absolute. This is just chaos.
I thought that Mitt Romney and Obama one was pretty heated, but this one just shot that right out of the water.
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, if you look back at some of the other incumbents and their presidential debates, so like Reagan, JFK, George W. Bush, you look at some of that, some of those, even Obama, even President Obama, you look at some of those debates, and it almost always seems, and this isn't an excuse by any means, but it almost always seems that the incumbent comes out hot, arrogant, and overconfident.
I would agree with you.
Now, maybe not to the same extent that Donald Trump does. I mean, let's be honest. He's got a personality that is much bigger than many, many politicians, if you really look at it. I mean, he always has. I mean, this man has literally become a global tycoon, right? Mm-hmm. By having a huge personality. He has made a lot of money on it. He made a TV show about it. I mean, this man has a big personality. Joe Biden, not as much. Joe Biden is pretty soft-spoken, all considering. But during this debate, he almost seemed aggressive to the tune of Donald Trump. I mean, he was interrupting just the same. Obviously, his voice doesn't boom as much, so it didn't seem as much of an interruption, more as an attempt at a cut-in. But you really saw a different face to Joe Biden as well. And overall, I would say, and I said this before, I don't think anyone won. I don't think Trump won. I don't think Joe Biden won. Am I going to vote for anyone different? Absolutely not. I have my mind set up right now. Could it change? Maybe. But after that debate, my mind doesn't change. I know who I'm going to vote for.
So, you know, punchlines in politics, you know, it's all about talking about these issues, whether that's the debate, whether that's Donald Trump, Joe Biden, or the BLM protests, you know, but we want everyone to know that, you know, our love and respect goes to, you know, everyone out there with different beliefs, with our beliefs, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, all we're doing here is just trying to start a conversation. And I'm sure Braden would agree with me with that.
Absolutely. And like we were talking about the First Amendment, you know, us being able to do this podcast and really show what we think about, you know, things in the political spectrum, you know, that's a privilege. We as Americans, for being born American or for becoming a legal citizen of America, we have won. Although we may not feel like we won after that debate, I'm here to tell you right now, we as Americans, by simply being Americans, have won. We have won the freedom to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we should be very, very grateful that we live in this good country, this great country, because we have these freedoms. And we have these rights that are given out to us. And presidential candidates will come and go, politicians will come and go, but as long as we stick to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we maintain those freedoms, we as Americans are,
you know, winning. And that right there, that's why, you know, I try and support, you know, as many of these protests, regardless of who's behind them. But, you know, just because BLM's the biggest one right now, I'll talk about that. But that's why I support, you know, BLM, is because they have these rights and they're going out there and they're fighting for that. And, you know, that's what being an American is all about. It's fighting for your freedoms, whether that's here, whether that's in Nazi Germany, whether that was in Vietnam or Iraq or anything like that, agree or disagree with the war itself. But that's why people do what they do, is because we are born with these freedoms and nobody has the right to take that away from you, Not a single person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we live in a great country, folks. Whether you like it or not, we live in a great country. We live in a country with freedoms. And we should be very proud of where we live, regardless of who's in charge, you know, who half of America decides to elect. At the end of the day, on November 3rd, guess what, folks? We are all still Americans. We are all still brothers and sisters of this great country. And we can have confidence in that. Regardless of where we are in the political spectrum, regardless of what we all differentiate in as far as religion, as far as politics, and as far as even wealth distribution goes, we are all Americans at the end of the day, and we can be thankful for that.
I would agree with you. And, you know, we're never going to be perfect. America is a nation. It would be impossible for us to be perfect. There's always going to be things that we need to improve, things we have to do better, things we need to change. And that just comes with, you know, the responsibility of looking after a nation bigger than the entire thing of Europe. But I would agree with Brayden. You know, we hit the lotto being born here. You know, there's not many places where you can practice whatever religion you want, where you can speak your mind and even voice frustrations and concerns with the government without any repercussions with that. And it's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And on to the next portion of punchlines in politics, we come to the punchline portion and this is both of our personal favorites. You know, we love this portion of our
podcast. I'm absolutely a memer over a politician.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there are those who are gifted in the politics, and there are those that are gifted in the memes. And by Jove, we are
in the memes. why don't you give them your meme first? We have no idea what each other's memes are. We'll preface with that.
Absolutely. And depending on how this goes, we might pick, you know, one meme, two memes. You know, this will probably move by, you know, pretty fast, all considering. All right, so my meme, one of my personal favorites, it is basically, it just says, on the top, it's a picture of a child holding a gun and then a child crying with the gun. And the top says, the director basically says, all right, kill the cameras. And then it says, cameraman. And then depicts a child with a gun and crying.
What in the world?
It's one of my personal favorites, let's be honest. It's a good meme.
Okay, my meme, you know, one of the biggest games out there. I'm also a gamer, so, you know, there's that. But one of the biggest games out there is Among Us. And, you know, I have decided that my meme is going to be some of the Among Us memes. My personal favorite is the one where it's just a picture of one crewmate with all this proof showing that, you know, another color did it, and they have all this proof. And then the very next screen, it's that color just saying, red sus. And everyone votes for red, regardless of the proof, because of the dang word sus. It's so funny.
I also have another meme that I'd like to pull out. Again, Josh has no idea what this meme is, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. So I'm just going to go and explain it as best as I can. The top text says marine animals or something. I don't know. I'm not a biologist. And at the bottom, it just shows squirrels dressed up in army garb.
I love those. It's like Avatar or something, but I've never read the book. It's just some random picture. Those are so funny. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to Punchlines in Politics.
Mm-hmm. And as always, here's some good cowboy advice. Be
rooting, be tuned,
be tuned, and be and by God, be shooting. But most of all,
be kind.
Be kind. Be kind. Well, thank you all so much, everyone, for tuning in. Again,
I'm Josh Chambers, and we will see you guys next time.
Okay.